Well, good morning. Hope everyone is doing well. We're in our series titled Be, and today is Be Certain. Be Certain. I want to read another passage. I'll bring it up on the screen. This is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. And Paul writes, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming." So some construction workers were working at a college, and they dug up an old power line. They suspected that this power line was just an old abandoned power line. So they called maintenance just to make sure. And the maintenance came over and they said, "Yes, this is just an old abandoned line." So they handed him the cutters. And he sort of smiled and said, "I'm not that sure." And so he didn't want to cut the line. So let me ask you this. How certain are you that you have a future with God beyond the here and now? Hopefully you're real certain. Paul said, "If in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men most to be pitied." You see, the Christian hope is not just a nice thought when one is stricken with cancer or some other terminal disease. It is as real as the air that we breathe. Our text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to look at three phrases in this particular text. The first one we're going to look at here is "we know." Notice verse 1. Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so we know that when this life is over, we have a better one waiting for us. You see, Paul was a tent maker by trade. And if you know anything about a tent is a temporary dwelling. And so tents are great for camping. And maybe you've camped in a tent. But you only have to camp in a tent for about 2 or 3 days before you realize this is not a lot of fun, right? And you also come to realize, wow, the amenities in a home are such a blessing, right? Because when you're living in a tent, it's not a lot of fun. And so a tent is an insecure structure. It can be torn down at any time, and we know this. We've lost a lot of precious people in this congregation over the years, and it's just a reminder that this tent is just a temporary dwelling, and how quickly this tent can be destroyed. In verse 2, Paul says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." And so that is not to say that we have no fun moments, but generally speaking, Paul is saying the older that we get, the fewer the joys and the more numerous the burdens of life become. And eventually you begin to say that I wouldn't mind getting out of this tent and going home. And those of you who are up in years, you know what I'm talking about, right? We just reach that. When you're young, you just think, I'm going to live forever. But as you get older, for whatever reason, it begins to change, and you think, boy, I can't wait to get out of this tent and go be with the Father in heaven. And so Paul assures us that the life God has for us in heaven is better than life here. And he would know, because in 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about when he was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that he couldn't communicate and tell us about. But he does say in another letter, to be with Christ is better by far. And Paul would know because Paul had been there. Paul knows what it's like. And he gives us a contrast in our text. He refers to this life as earthly. The other is heavenly. This life is a tent. The one to come is a building. This life is mortal. The one to come is eternal. This life is full of burdens. The one to come is glory. This life, he depicts as nakedness. The one to come is to be fully clothed. And so what he's saying is the best is yet to come. That's what Paul is saying. Look at verse 4. Paul says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And so how can we know that? How can we know that when we die, the best is yet to come? How can we know? Well, some claim out-of-the-body experiences, but the Bible is not based on the speculations of man, but rather on the demonstration of God. God raised up Jesus on the third day, the Bible teaches. And that's where our hope is at. It is in the resurrection of the risen Lord. And Jesus told his disciples before he was to go and die, he says, "I'm going to go away." But he said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we believe in the historical record that God raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And we are assured by Jesus that the best is yet to come. And we need to remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. But while we walk by faith and not by sight, we do not have a blind faith. Our faith is substantiated with many evidences to support it. But secondly, Paul gives us this phrase, "who gives us the Spirit as a pledge," in verse 5. Look at verse 5. "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So, this pledge is a guarantee that you're going to follow through with your promise. That's the idea. So, when you purchase a home, what do? You put down earnest money. You put down a pledge. That earnest money is a pledge that the rest of the money is forthcoming. So it's a promise that the rest is on its way. And God has given us a promise that the best is yet to come. And we know that God does not lie, the Bible teaches. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Paul says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." So how do we know that the Holy Spirit is living in us, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a pledge of what is to come? How do we know that? Well, there's a couple ways we know that. We know that the Spirit resides in us in the same way that we know that we're saved and we're right with God. We take God at his word. God says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." But one of the ways we know the Spirit dwells in us is the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift at our conversion. So when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And he is a pledge of what is to come. And we know this because of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which says, "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so we know the Spirit lives in us because God tells us the Spirit lives in us, not because we feel it. We just know it's there. And we know the help that he gives us in life that he promises. He strengthens us for spiritual life. But also we know the Spirit is in us because of the fruit of the Spirit, which should be evident in the life of every believer in Jesus. And so Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. When we see that fruit in the life of a believer, we know that the Spirit is residing in that believer. And so we have the Spirit as a pledge given to us from God. What a blessing. But there's a third phrase that we see, being always of good courage. Look at verse 6. He says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And so Paul says that we are confident. that when we die, we immediately go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. He makes that abundantly clear. Look at verse 8 even. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so Christ has given us advanced knowledge about what will happen when we die. And so the Bible's really clear. So what happens when we die? So just a few things here. First of all, there's going to be a gradual deterioration of the body. Look in chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. I was looking in 3:16. Chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We talked about that already, but I just want to point out that there is a deterioration of the body. It is natural. It occurs in everyone. But then there comes a departure of the spirit. That's verse 6 and verse 8. And so when you, when the body eventually deteriorates, the spirit then leaves the body, we're told. And that spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also said over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, how he had this desire to stay with the Philippians and help them in their faith in Christ. But he also had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And so Paul makes it abundantly clear in Philippians as well as in 2 Corinthians 5 that when we die, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And so that's the next thing. Immediately we go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no purgatory. You're either at home in the body or you're absent from the body and your spirit is with Christ. Now that's what the Bible teaches. And so if you're here, your spirit's here. But this body will eventually give out, and when it does, your spirit will leave that body, and it will go into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to verse 6, verse 8, as well as Philippians 1:23. But then, lastly, there is the glorification of the body. This happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so when the Lord Jesus comes back in his second coming, the dead are immediately going to rise in resurrection and they're going to have their new, glorious, glorified bodies. According to Philippians 3, verse 21, that Christ will change our vile, corruptible body to be fashioned into the image of his glorious body. And then those who are alive and remain, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So the dead, when they rise, they'll be changed instantly. Then the living will instantly be changed as well. And we'll all have our new glorious bodies. We'll be in the image of the Son of God himself. We will not be God, that we will have the same type of body that the Lord Jesus Christ himself possesses. Not only Philippians 3:21 tells us this, but also 1 John 3:2 says, it does not yet appear we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so Paul tells us clearly how this is all going to play out as we get ready to meet him. And so for that reason, we're always of good courage. But I want to turn your attention before we close out this morning to verse 10, because it's an important verse. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So the Bible tells us that there's coming a day when we will stand before God in judgment. Every single one of us. Matthew 25, all nations are gathered there. Yet we're going to go before him one by one. We're going to give an account of our lives. And the question is this: are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Are you prepared for him to come? And more than that, are you prepared to stand before Christ on Judgment Day? And the only way you can be prepared to stand before Christ on Judgment Day is that your sins have been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your sins are not under the blood of Jesus Christ, then you will not have a favorable hearing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus judges the nations that are gathered before him, he says to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into everlasting torment, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so that's the fate of those whose sins are not under the blood of Christ. So my question to you this morning is this: are your sins under the blood of Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you ready to meet your Lord? And if not, we're going to sing a song. And while we sing this song, it's to encourage you that if you're not right with God, to get right with God, and do that as we stand and sing this morning.